Welcome to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. In the weeks since George Floyd was killed under the knee of a Minneapolis police officer, protests, mostly peaceful, have continued across America and across Illinois. Some of those events have featured Illinois' top political leaders, including Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton, who's my first guest today. I spoke with Stratton Tuesday afternoon over Zoom. Our conversation touched on calls to defund the police, the power of police unions, and later on, the status of some of the investment in black and brown communities that's supposed to flow from the legalization of marijuana. As ever, we'd love to hear what you thought about today's program. Send us an email at talk@21stshow.org. That's talk@21stshow.org. Lieutenant Governor Stratton, welcome to the 21st. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So I want to begin by asking about the protests that have been taking place, not just all over the country, but across Illinois. And I want to begin by asking, how would you rate the quality of the job the police have done in handling these protests that we've seen?
Well, I would say first and foremost, these protests have been unprecedented in many ways, including what we have seen here in the state of Illinois. Not only have there been protests in every state in the nation and protests globally, but we've seen protests in many rural communities throughout the state. And I would say that by and large, we have had peaceful protests where people are raising their voices, that they are proclaiming that Black Lives Matter, and they are calling for police accountability. Having said that, we know that there have also been cases and incidents that we have seen over the last several weeks of protest that not only have been where many would describe examples of excessive use of force or at least over-policing, but we also, of course, have seen additional people, whether it's in the context of protest or outside of a context of protest, mostly. We've continued to see unarmed Black men and women being killed. When we think about what happened with George Floyd and his murder and the knee that was on his neck by Officer Chauvin that really sparked so much of what we see, those 8 minutes and 46 seconds that his knee was on his neck, squeezing the life out of him, out of George Floyd. We also know that there have been so many other names of people, including Breonna Taylor and the incident that happened with Ahmaud Arbery. And I think that what people are saying all across our nation and of course across the state of Illinois is that we cannot continue to see police brutality happen as it has, and we cannot continue to see a lack of accountability for police when these types of killings take place.
One of the rallying cries we've heard out of these Black Lives Matter protests is this idea of defunding the police. I wonder, do you support the idea of defunding the police?
Well, Governor Pritzker and I, recently on June 9th, the day that George Floyd was laid to rest, we issued a joint proclamation to honor Mr. Floyd and other unarmed victims of police brutality. And our proclamation made it very clear that Black lives matter in the state of Illinois. And we know that Black people have traditionally been over-policed. There cannot be a system that protects officers who do not serve and protect, who kill with impunity. And, you know, I named some of those names, whether it's George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, or many others. We have heard that cry be loud and clear. You know, I think that this concept is really a question for local leaders and at municipal and county levels, but this is not the first time that we've heard this phrase, defund the police. We heard those same cries in Chicago after the shooting death of Laquan McDonald by Chicago police officer. And those cries have continued. So it's not new to this particular moment in time. At the very core, I would say, is a call for a shift in our financial priorities and communities holding us accountable about what we choose to invest in. And quite frankly, I think that's always at the core of social justice movements.
I wonder if you think the slogan, though, in particular, is that something that is a political liability for Democrats, or is it a way to help expand the idea of what's possible? Because I think, as you know, when you get down to it, people are not saying have no police, although I suppose some people are, but they're saying, you know, take the money so police are not doing, you know, necessarily responding to the wide variety of things we ask them to do now, and instead have some sort of unarmed people, maybe schooled in conflict mediation or something like that. I wonder what you think about that, that idea that, you know, it's a term that's going to scare some voters away, but it also helps expand the idea of what's possible. Where do you come down on that divide?
Well, I think first and foremost, people are talking about it. People are talking about the financial priorities and how we, at different levels of government, what we choose to invest in and what that looks like. And that's a conversation that's being had right now. I know as far as, thinking about this being more from a local or county level, I think at the state level, we are having continued conversations with the Black Caucus. We participated in 4 days of action that have been organized by the statewide Joint Black Caucus to really think about how we create a justice system that better reflects our values. And so what Governor Pritzker and I, the conversations that we've been having, not only with the Black Caucus, but with other leaders and those who are lifting their voices during this time, is about what needs to happen and what can we do at the state level all across the board from a criminal justice reform standpoint. I think from, you know, one of the things that I've considered is, as I said before, this is not a new term. And, I certainly, won't be in a position at this particular moment to kind of, say what language anyone should be using. What I will say is that we have to make sure that there's real action. And I think that's what people are crying for, that they're saying that, you know, we have seen unarmed Black men and women be killed with impunity, where there's been no accountability. And we know that communities, Black communities in particular, have felt over-policed. And so when people are saying what we want to see is investment in our communities and some real bold investments being made in our communities, when we see hear people saying, you know, what are we doing to make sure that there are investments in mental health services and bringing up issues such as food justice and access to healthcare and all of these other things that make a healthy community, that what's really happening right now is those conversations are happening. And that's a good thing.
If you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton, the Lieutenant Governor of Illinois. You've mentioned a couple of times now this idea of over-policing in Black and brown communities in Chicago. And that is certainly something we hear a lot about. But there are also people who talk about those communities being under-policed in a different way in terms of the too low clearance rate for solving murders in those communities. And too much of a focus on, you know, so-called broken windows or quality of life crimes, and not enough of a focus on the really serious crimes. I wonder what you make of that contention.
Well, I've always thought, and I don't know if those are still tactics that we see being used in Illinois, but I remember when the talk was very popular to talk about this sort of broken windows approach to policing, I remember thinking about how decades of disinvestment in Black and brown communities across our city and state, the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois, I remember thinking how there weren't a lot of windows to break because there weren't as many businesses and small businesses and other kinds of places that that could be broken. And that's a testament to the kind of disinvestment that has happened in these communities for so long. I think that we know that there's many people, when we think about the lack of trust that communities of color often have and Black communities in particular often have with the police system. I think it's from two ways. It's one, looking at the sort of history of going back to thinking of even how policing kind of evolved from its roots, even dating back to slavery, and thinking about this method of sort of controlling communities. And that conversation about sort of the history has kind of always led to this sort of tenuous relationship over time. At the same time, we know that every community wants to live in a safe community. Every person wants to live in a safe community. There's no one that I could ask in the state of Illinois, is there anybody who does not want to live in a safe community? Is there anyone who wants to live in a community where your children cannot be free to go out and play in the streets and enjoy games like all other children? Or is there anybody who does not want to be able to walk through their community and feel free from crime? Of course there is. But what I think that this conversation that's happening right now brings up is that in many of these same communities, we also see higher rates of violence and other issues that are sort of reflective of the community's health and it not being healthy. And so if having so many police in the community has not address this issue, have not made these communities safer, then what else can happen? What are the other things that need to happen in the community to make sure that the community is built back up, that the community has access to the resources that it needs, that the community has a grocery store and restaurants and small businesses that are starting and growing and expanding? How do we make sure that these communities have access to healthcare resources, especially in this age of COVID-19, mental health resources. So the conversation has to be much more comprehensive about what safety means and how communities feel safe. And it also has to come back to the question of contact with law enforcement. So when you talk about, for example, being able to solve crimes and to make sure that when violence does happen, that we understand, you know, that there's an identity of who committed that act and how there is accountability from that standpoint. You know, when those kinds of crimes go unsolved and people don't feel that these issues are taken, you know, into account in their communities, then people start to feel that there's really not a whole lot of trust that they have in the system as a whole to protect them. And that's also an issue. So people don't want to have that daily contact when I talk about over-policing. It's the same issue that we see in schools when people talk about why do we have so many police in our school systems, to really think about like what's needed. You know, when you have a healthy community, by the way, you don't see police in that same way. What makes that community healthy that they don't have to rely on police so much or have so many police in their neighborhoods? Those are the same things I think we hear communities, Black communities across our state saying they want for their own communities.
I think I've heard people make that very point in a slightly different way, which is that many parts of the country have already basically abolished policing, and those are largely white neighborhoods where they don't have that daily contact that you're referring to.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
You know, I know you're a state official, but I do want to ask about the Chicago Police Department. You represented Chicago in the Illinois House of Representatives, if I'm not mistaken, before you were lieutenant governor. And the Chicago police, you mentioned the Laquan McDonald shooting. You know, they have this history of shooting unarmed or barely armed people. I was thinking of Betty Jones, a woman who was shot accidentally while they were aiming for someone else. And there's also this legacy of torturing false confessions out of Black men. Do you think the department can be reformed, or should Chicago and other cities follow the lead of what some in Minneapolis are trying to do, which is end the current police department and start fresh with some new concept?
Well, I know that the city of Chicago officials will continue to are having these conversations. Clearly, these are conversations that are ongoing. The mayor and the city council will continue to address those issues. And I really don't want to delve into what a particular municipality should or should not do specifically. What I will say is that, you know, we across in communities across the state and across the country have to continue having not just conversations about what has happened and the real trauma in many ways that has continued in communities across Black communities across the country as it relates to the relationship with police. When you have people being killed, unarmed people being killed. So I think it's a situation where at every level of government, we have to have these conversations and not just look at it from a standpoint of policing, but look at it in the context of the entire criminal justice system. And that is what happens of how people enter the system. We know that the criminal justice system is disproportionately Black and brown, both from the point of arrest to incarceration, from detention and jails to who's in our prisons. And so, and the difficulties that remain, by the way, after people exit our system, trying to reenter their communities, and the barriers that are placed in getting jobs and housing and healthcare and education. So it's, I think at every level, at least in my position, and as Governor Pritzker and I think about these issues from a statewide level, it's important for us to recognize what can we do at a state level, and what do we need to do to think about this system from beginning to end. And that's going to require working with our municipal leaders as well. But we can't just focus on one area. We have to think about why are so many from the Black community entering the system in the first place? And what role does policing, which is the entry point of that, what role does policing play? And then what happens because 95% of people do come home from the Illinois Department of Corrections? And what happens when they come back to our communities? Are our communities suited for them to continue to be productive and have chance for opportunity and real equity? Or is it a system that they cycle in and out of? And we know what the history has been, of course. We're trying to change that by looking at what we can do at every level of government.
If you're just joining us, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton. We need to take a short break. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. My guest today is Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton of Illinois. Before the break, we were talking about the protests that have erupted across the country and across Illinois, big cities, small towns, after the killings of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, the police killings, as well as Ahmaud Arbery and other tragedies that have happened recently. And before the break, we were talking specifically about the Chicago Police Department. I want to take sort of a broader statewide view. You know, it strikes me that in Illinois, the previous governor, Bruce Rauner, spent 4 years trying to convince Democrats that government employee unions had too much power, public employee unions. And Democrats fought back hard. But now they seem to be open to the idea that police unions, at least, have too much power. I wonder, do you think that changing the power of police unions needs to be part of what's done in Illinois to fix what's broken about the systemic racism in the way Black and brown communities are policed?
I mean, I think that, you know, certainly one of the questions that's come up is the issue of what's happening with qualified immunity and any efforts to keep people from being held accountable. You know, the calls that we are hearing across this nation for police accountability means just that. That people should not be able to kill with impunity, whether you carry a badge or not. You should be held responsible. And I think any efforts to try to keep people from being held responsible are always going to be a barrier for us to make real progress. And right now, when you have the whole world calling for progress, I think it's certainly a time that we have to look at every option to figure out how do we make sure that this does not happen again. And we're hoping, although we've heard a lot of rhetoric from certain individuals from, you know, the FOP and others that may not see this as something that needs to be negotiated or talked about. But I think that this is an area that there certainly has to be conversation if there's going to be anything that changes.
A little more than a week ago, you and Governor Pritzker and other political and community leaders held a march and rally in Madison in the south suburbs, and there have been other similar events and marches. Republicans have pointed to that and said it's hypocritical from an administration that is still prohibiting gatherings of more than 10 people, and now they filed a lawsuit seeking to be exempt from the state's ban on larger gatherings. I wonder, how do you respond to that?
Well, look, we have been gathering because we have seen a movement around the globe where people are coming together right now in this moment in time to say no more. We are not going to stand idly by while another unarmed Black man like George Floyd or another unarmed Black woman like Breonna Taylor who was in her home sleeping when the police entered her her home, and she was shot to death. This is a moment in time where I would hope that others would join this call and to say that police must be held accountable in these circumstances, and that Black lives do matter, and that we have to make sure that we address these issues. So the governor and I have made that clear. We have stood with those who are peacefully protesting, who are marching, not just in the city of Chicago, but in communities all across the state of Illinois, like Taylorville and Anna, Illinois, and Carbondale, Illinois, and everywhere in between, to say at this moment in time, this is one of the most critical issues of our day. And I think that it's an important message. It's important that the leadership of this state makes it clear, and I urge leaders all across the state to make it clear that we must have police accountability and real reform of our criminal justice system.
If you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton. And just in the few minutes we have remaining, I want to shift gears a little bit. We're 6 months into the legalization and commercialization of marijuana in Illinois. And a big part of that effort, I know an issue that's near and dear to your heart, is the R3 program. It stands for Restore, Reinvest, and Renew. Can you remind our listeners what that is, and how is that effort going now that we are 6 months into this program?
Sure. So I chair the Restore, Reinvest, and Renew Board, which fortunately we get to call the R3 Board, which is a little less of a tongue twister. And the focus of the R3 program is to reinvest 25% of the net cannabis tax revenues into those same communities that were most harmed by the war on drugs. There is a current notice of funding opportunity, which is on the street now. We have made sure that equity, our R3 board has made sure that equity is sort of centered in this funding opportunity, where there's an opportunity for planning grants and other community grants in five particular service areas, which include civil legal aid, reentry services, violence prevention, youth development, and economic development. And so during this first application cycle, there's $31.5 million of grant funds that are going to be available for community-based organizations. We're providing technical assistance through the Illinois Criminal Justice Information Authority to make sure that organizations across our state will have the information they need to put forth a strong proposal. And the areas have been identified all across the state using various census tracts. And just for your listeners, the grant applications are due on July 20th, and they can get more information at r3.illinois.gov.
And I just want to ask before we say goodbye about one other restorative aspect of that legislation, which was the idea that it would allow people to try to expunge past marijuana convictions. And I know there was a flurry of activity on this around the new year, but I wonder, is it happening as quickly as it should, or is this something else that's on hold because of the pandemic?
Well, as you know, with the COVID-19 pandemic and the resulting stay-at-home order, which certainly was needed and has helped us to make the progress that we have here in Illinois, where we have flattened the curve and are starting to reopen the state in phases. But one of the results of that was that court systems throughout the state also had to reduce operations and sometimes stop operations. So there's still a priority to make sure that people are aware that they can pursue getting their records expunged for cannabis-related offenses, low-level cannabis-related offenses. And, you know, as things begin to open up, I'm sure that there will be more of a push to make sure that cases move through the system. But like everything else, we have to recognize and be patient and recognize that this was not expected, that we would be in the midst of a global pandemic. And the most important thing, first and foremost, was to make sure we saved as many lives as possible. And so court systems will begin to open back up. Processing of these cases will continue to move forward. But during the last few months, we had to focus on the top priority, and that was the public health pandemic that we were facing.
Juliana Stratton is the Lieutenant Governor of Illinois. Lieutenant Governor Stratton, thank you for taking the time to speak with us on the 21st.
Thanks so much, and thanks for having me, Brian.